Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
Leviticus chapter 17, I'll read the first part of that verse. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. Go ahead and turn to Galatians 6 and 10 also. I'll read a portion of scripture there. As you're turning, let me say that again. The life of the flesh is in the blood. Galatians 6 and 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially, say that word with me, especially, especially unto them that are of the household. I love that word. I love the way it says, the household of faith. Pastor, why don't you pray for this message today? Let's worship the Lord one more time. Can we do that? Hallelujah. Can we put a little bit extra into it just for a moment and really show God how much we thank Him and love Him for all that He's done for us? Hallelujah. Before you see that, I want to share my thought. I want to speak on this, the bond of blood. God bless you as you're seated. The bond of blood. Blood has great significance. It has great significance, first of all, in nature. It exists in all internal organs and most of all organs. It carries essential nutrients. It is the only part of the body that carries oxygen. If anything gets into the blood, it's going to get into every part of the body. Human blood contains several metals. We know that it contains iron, it contains zinc, it contains chromium, and it even contains gold. Everyone sitting in here right now has gold particles in your blood right now. So if you ever start getting down on yourself and you start feeling a little bit bad about how you look, about how you are, about how you act, you just say, God made me part gold. And that's worth something. It is the only bodily tissue that exists in liquid form. Now, science may want to take credit for that, but even the Bible says in Deuteronomy, when God instructed His people, He said, do not eat the blood. He didn't say don't drink it. He said, do not eat the blood. And that word used in the Greek for eat is a reference specifically to solid food. Blood has great significance. If we see someone perhaps who's had an accident, we want to come to their aid. And if they're laying on the ground in pain, and then we suddenly see a pool of blood around that person, immediately we go into an urgent mode because the life is beginning to drain from their body. Blood, of course, has great significance in our lives, in our culture, in our history, even in mythology. I won't go into all of it, but even in mythology, throughout history, different mythological tales use blood, saying that it even has divine properties in it. It is used in popular culture. There are plenty of shows, none of which I watch, that use blood in their plot lines. And even in ancient rituals, blood was a very significant part of that. From the beginning, we have instinctively known there is something very important about blood, and it is unlike any other part of the human body. And we, of course, in our history, soldiers have shed their blood for this country. I thank God for the country that we live in. I know it has its problems, always had, always will. A lot of people criticize our country, and I think that can be fine, but some of them criticize this country through a mentality of entitlement. None of us are entitled to everything that we just are given as far as our freedoms, because there is someone, someone who fought and who died. That's why when I see that flag raised, it's more than just wanting to shout America. It is something important. It stands for all those men and women who fought and shed their blood for this country that we have. And I thank God that we have that in our history. I thank God for the freedom that we have, for even the national pride that we have. And it's also, of course, referenced in kinship. Now, we know that DNA doesn't just exist in the blood. It exists in practically every part of the body. Every cell contains DNA. Now, when I say blood, I'm also referring to adoption. I make no distinction between the two, because when you adopt someone, they are just as much family as I am to my biological father, because we take on that bloodline. Now, if anybody ever been to Ancestry.com, you can really fall down some rabbit holes in Ancestry.com. And I've looked up a lot of things on that website, and it's amazing what you can find out. My sister-in-law looked up things. She said, "Shannon, turns out that as far as the family tree goes, you're the sap." And I said, "Okay, well, that makes sense." But we have some interesting people in our history. On my biological grandfather's side, now my dad, Johnny Peacock, was adopted by Richard Lewis Peacock after his biological father died. My biological grandfather is a man named Billy Wages, and he passed when my dad was just very, very, very young. But through that, it turns out that I have a distant ancestor named David the Elder Crockett. So that makes my family distant cousins, blood cousins with David Crockett. And on my mother's side, my maternal grandmother, her maiden name is Fraser, which is the Americanized version of Fraser. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard that term used. There's a show, I've not seen a single episode, not interested, but it's also in pop culture, the Fraser Clan. And after some deep research, it turns out that I am, in fact, my children, all of us on my mom's side, are descended from the Lord Lovitz of the Fraser Clan. Now, that's neat. And that's about all I have to say about that. It's just neat. There's something interesting about looking back where you came from, knowing about the bloodline in your family. Now, Brother Lance Huff, he's out of town today, but he is one of my closest friends. Our families have been connected for many years, and he and I in the past few years have become even closer. We're, you know, good buddies. I know he'll do anything for me, and he did recently, gave me a ride to pick up a car. And if he needs anything, I'll do the same for him. Now, if I were to walk into a room and I were to see Lance arguing with anyone, I might want to take Lance aside, not knowing much about what's going on. However, I have a first cousin once removed. He was my dad's first cousin. His name is Jim Wages. Now, he is biologically kin to my dad, and my dad knew him. I have never met Jim Wages. I recognize him from Facebook, and we've had some communication on there. If I were to enter a room and I were to see Lance and Jim Wages arguing over whatever it might be, I might be just a little bit slower to take Lance aside. Why? Because I might think, hang on a second, Lance, there, you're arguing with my blood. You're arguing with a member of my family. There is a connection that just cannot be explained in human words. It transcends DNA. It transcends all things. We are connected by blood. And in the Bible, in Christianity, blood holds great significance because it is involved in sacrifice and remission. Hebrews 9:22 says, "Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission." I don't know why God chose blood. All I know is that it is life essence. And the only way that our sins could ever be washed away is for a sacrifice of the essence of life itself to be drained from a human body. And I thank God for that blood that was shed for me, that blood that was shed for you, that blood that takes away all sins and that makes all things new. For a soul to be saved, that must be sacrificed. And Jesus, of course, was the ultimate sacrifice for sin and for salvation. And as members of the body, and I do mean body, because all of us in here share something very, very important in common. We have all had the same blood applied to our lives. We are all connected by the blood of Jesus. And as such, we are all family. We are more than just people who socialize together. We are more than just people who may have certain things in common, who enjoy some of the same worship songs. We are family. I am kin to all of you in a way that transcends DNA, in a way that the world cannot understand. I was bought by the same blood that you were bought by. I am kin to you in a way that no one else could understand. We are all connected by that blood, all of us. And I'm here to tell you that all family members are essential. Every single one of you have an important role in the kingdom of God. All of us, including new converts. Now, we may think, you know, new converts, how is it that they bring us so much joy? How is it that we get so excited? We get so excited because we're bringing a new member into the family. They may have nothing to offer. You know, Brother Jake, when that little baby came into your life, he had nothing to give, nothing nice to say to us. But somehow, when we hold them in our arms, we feel joy like nothing else. Because that's my family. That's my blood. When these two young men came into the lives of Brother Will and his wife, Sister Angie, they looked at them and they said, "That's my family. That is now my blood." And maybe they didn't have a whole lot to offer at the time, but that's okay. That's not the point. The point is that now we are family. Our family has grown, and they have something very unique and special to offer all of us. Our elders, so essential, so necessary. They have such wisdom to offer us. I know our world is very youth-oriented, and that can be good in some ways, and we get our energy from the youth, and that's good, but we need to make sure we get our wisdom from the elders. Sometimes an elder might say, "Hang on just a little bit, I'm not sure about that," and we may not get it. That's okay. They don't need us to get it. Now, I say they. 50 is coming next month. It's heading to me like a freight train. It had to happen eventually. I know. I may not look it. I may look more than that. I don't know. But all I know is that I'm neither young, and I'm neither an elder. I don't think. Now, I was Brother Jake, I was thinking about your boy. He is always going to see me as an old person. Always. Because 50, when he's 10 and I say, "Yeah, I'm 60 years old." Wow. You've always been 60 years old. That's how it's going to feel to him, okay? And when he's 20, I'm going to be 70. When he's still a young dude, then maybe I'll call myself an elder. But to him, I will always be everybody else who is born from now on, I will be old to those people. And that's just how it goes. But my prayer is this, is that those years go by, and as age comes, I pray that I can live up to the example that my precious elders have set for me. I pray that I can share some kind of wisdom for a younger person that will help them along. They are essential. Everyone here, you are essential to the family of God. We need you. We need you here. I don't care how much you think you have to offer or don't offer. And I want to say, and I wouldn't dare try to bring any attention that somebody doesn't want, but I thank God for our precious saints with special needs. I thank God for them. I know, and in working with them, I can tell you that you can gain things from them that you cannot gain from anyone else. Sometimes we may look at them and we may say, "Oh, that poor thing, they'll never know this. They'll never understand that. They'll never be able to do that." Meanwhile, in their own way, they're looking at us saying, "You poor normies. If you only knew what it was like, man, I'm having a good time. And, you know, all y'all with y'all petty things that you worry about, all y'all with y'all gossip, I ain't interested in all that. I'm living my best life every day. So go ahead. I want you to be yourself. I want you to be what you are. I don't care if we have to make a few accommodations here and there. So what? You're family. You are essential to the kingdom of God. You are why God shed his blood." And I'll tell you, God, God doesn't want to hold anybody to an emotional and mental capacity that they cannot achieve to. So, yes, we believe that we are all on our way to heaven together. And on top of that, I will say, yes, also, I have seen people with Down syndrome get the Holy Ghost. I have seen people who are almost completely nonverbal be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. God wants to let us know just how essential they are, just how important they are to His kingdom. We need you. We need everybody. We need that, and we're going to have more and more people, and we already have. We're going to have people come into this church who have needs, who have, let me just say it this way, who have issues. We all have issues, and we all need tissues. That's right. We all have problems. There are going to be people who come in here, and we're going to say, we want you to join the family, and they're going to be confused by that. They're going to think, I'm just this. You don't know what kind of baggage I'm carrying. You don't know what I've gone through. If you only do what my daddy did to me when I was a child, you might want to throw me out with everything else. I have nothing that I can give you. And I have these things I take medication for every single day. Been taking it as long as I can remember. You know what I say to you? I say, be part of the family. I say, join this. Let God's blood be applied to you, because that same blood that made me all that I am and all that I hope to be is that same blood that's going to help you out. So, yeah, if you have a bad day here with us, that's all right. We can handle your bad day. We can handle the things that you deal with. If you get confused and you've worried you might make a scene, go ahead and make a scene. We're going to be right there for you. Why? Not because this is a social club, but because we are family, and we are bonded together through the blood that God shed for us. What does family do? First of all, family loves. Family loves. And we got to love in so many ways. There are so many forms that love can take. One form, of course, is service. We serve one another. And the best time to serve is when we're not very good at what we do. And I mean that. One of the best times to serve is when we step into an area that we've never operated in before, that we're not as capable as someone else is, but we do it anyway. And when we do that, you see, if any carpenters in here, I know Brother Dusty works on roofs, other. Now, if they want to help me out with that, something in my house, I say, I need something, brother. Can you come to my house? Of course, I'll pay you for your time. And he may just say, oh, no, don't you worry about that. And don't worry, I'm not going to ask now, because I'm not going to guilt you into saying, let me do it for free, okay? I'm just using you as an example. You just happen to be there, all right? And he says, no, let me do that. That's going to be a great blessing to me. Okay, he's going to bless me and mine by helping me out with something. But let's say I need help with a task or a job or some research, and there's the only person that is available is Brother Jorge, and he's not particularly good at this job. He's a great piano player, okay? And I'm just, again, not he's great. We know he's great at everything, okay? We know that, okay? I can't stand overachievers. I'm just going to say it right now. So But he's not very good at it. He said, "No, brother, I haven't got a lot of experience in this, but I'll help you. I'll do what I can." That's going to bless me in a completely different way, because he's stepping into something that he's not comfortable with. He is willing to feel discomfort, to feel extra stress. Why? Because he wants to serve. Because he wants to show how much he loves me. And I want to serve in any way that I can. And I also want to try to serve in any way that I cannot. And of course, another way that we show love is that we forgive. We have to forgive. This is something we cannot get wrong. The world needs to see. And we don't always get everything right. I understand that. I know that people have got things that have happened to them in churches. And I understand church hurt. But let me tell you something. I will put God's people beside anyone in the world, any day, any time, because getting it wrong, that's not a church thing. That's not a Pentecostal thing. That's just a people thing. But by and large, I have seen God's people get it right. I have seen pastors get it right. Even when in our mistakes, we want to get it right. If I get it wrong, I want to be forgiven. If somebody else gets it wrong with one of mine, I want to be equally forgiven. And when we're children, when we are young, young children, the notion that our parents can make a mistake is shocking to us. You may even remember the first time your dad made a mistake or your mom, and they said, "Yeah, I messed up." We just, wow, that really? That happens? It's surprising to us because we're very young and very inexperienced. So it is only, and I don't want to be critical here, but it is only in our immaturity that we are less willing to understand that those in authority and leadership can also make mistakes. My friends, can we let our leaders make mistakes sometimes? Can we let them be ourselves? Don't read anything that nothing's happened. Okay, everything's good. Everything's great. Okay. And they may make mistakes. And I know it's even harder when they make a mistake with one of our own. But you know what I'm going to tell them? I'm going to say, look, yeah, maybe they made a mistake. Maybe they didn't handle that just right. But you know what we're going to do? We're going to love them. We're going to forgive them. Maybe they don't even realize that they made a mistake. Maybe they did. Maybe they didn't. Maybe we're completely right. Maybe they're completely wrong. But what are we going to do? We're going to love our family. We're going to support our family. And if I may share my own a little testimony here also, the Bible makes provisions whenever we have aught against each other. Whenever someone does something wrong, we can go to them. If that doesn't work, we bring someone else to them. But that's if we have aught or we have a problem, a genuine problem with someone else. Can I take a step back and say sometimes it's better to just let the aught go, to just let it go by, to say maybe they would realize that they made a mistake, maybe they wouldn't. Years ago, my pastor, who's my former pastor, who's recently gone on to be with the Lord, he handled a situation with me, something that could have been affected my reputation. And even now, I still don't think he handled it the right way. Okay, I honestly don't, but I do know he had my best interest in mind, and I could have gone to him. And I struggled with that at times. I decided I'm going to stay loyal. I'm going to stay faithful. I'm going to forgive. I'm going to let him be who he is. I'm going to let him just make a mistake. If that was, I cannot say with all certainty. That's not for me to judge. All I can say is how I felt at the time. And I could have gone to him and said, "You remember that time this happened? I still wish that would have gone differently, or maybe you would have done this." And now that he's with the Lord, I can tell you with all certainty, I'm so glad I never brought it up. I'm so glad I never told him, "I think you did that wrong." I am so glad I never put that criticism on him. Why? Yes, he was like a father to me. Yes, he was many things to me. But before all that, he was my brother in the Lord. He was a family member, a treasured family member that I held dear for so many years. And that's what we ought to do with each other. If somebody makes a mistake, somebody gets it wrong, that's okay. That's all right, but you know, we know how you can be sometimes, okay? We know how, y'all know how he is. He's always running around trying to get a whole bunch of attention. But that, I'm being ironic here, you know. But that's all right. If you're an introvert, we're going to let you be an introvert. If you're an extrovert, we're going to let you be an extrovert. Yes, sure, at times we make, he can be that way. She can be sometimes. I might want to walk the other way every now. That's okay. How you doing? Good to see you. Yeah, we may do things a little bit like that. We do that with our own family. I am one of four siblings, three brothers, one girl. I hope I can use this phrase. I cannot count the times in my family that the phrase, "my idiot brother," has been said many times, okay? That's the way we are. Yeah, he did it again. You just got to, okay, all right, well, it's Christmas. We're going to get together. Can we just forget about the thing and let's just have a good time? Yeah, that's what we have to do with family sometimes. Now, I understand boundaries. I won't go into it, but I understand that sometimes we have to draw lines and set boundaries in our lives and even in the church. But beyond all that, before all that, I hope to God I can love you the way that God asks me to. He said, "Be good and do good to everyone in the world, especially those that are of the household of faith." So what do we do? Whenever someone strays, we reach out to them. If I haven't seen them in a long time, I'm going to look. I'm going to send them a message on Messenger. I want to try to get their number. Just say, I've been missing you. I hope to see you again soon. And sometimes that's all we can do because family also fights for each other. I love everybody here, and it's okay if you have a little criticism of me. That's fine. But I will storm the gates of hell with a garden hose before I let anybody run any of you down. If somebody wants to gossip, they're going to have to find another ear. If someone wants to tell me all the things you're doing wrong, they're going to have to talk about it somewhere else, because I will defend each and every one of you to the day I die, because you are family, and that's what God expects of us. And family also, and I believe most importantly of all, family grows. I've got this. Pardon me for referencing a picture of myself, but I've got this picture of myself that I love. Absolutely love it. And in this picture, my hair looks awful. I'm half shaven. I'm sweaty. My face is greased up good. My eyes are bloodshot. Great, great, great image of me. But if you look a little closer and music can come, you'll see that I'm holding a little flip phone. It was 2008. That's all we had at the time. And on that little flip phone is a picture of my 30-minute-old daughter. And the look on my face. You know what I'm talking about, parents. The look on your face. Grandparents, too. Oh, grandparents. Grandkids. God's reward for not killing your own kids. I get that same kind of look every time I see somebody come into the kingdom. I know it's not about me. It's about the soul more than anything. And first of all, it's about that newborn baby. What are they going to be? What are they going? How are they going to end up? What is our new convert going to be called to do? What are they going to get involved in? I don't know. I can't wait to see. I can't wait to see what God does in their life. And I want to let you know, all of you, you bless me. I love praying with people to receive the Holy Ghost. There was nothing like it. Even midwives and doctors say every single time they help bring a child into the world, they get a tear in their eye. They get joy all over again. It's a little bit different with everyone. And in traveling, you get to pray with a lot of people to receive the Holy Ghost. And I can tell you this, it never gets old. You can stand with me. I'll never forget the time when I just got hooked on bringing in new family members. It was senior camp sometime in the 1900s, way back in the 1900s. And there was this young lady who was praying to receive the Holy Ghost, wanting to join the family of God. And we prayed with her for a while, and so I don't know why it goes like that sometimes. You just pray. You try to say the right things. Of course, there's the hold on, let go, turn loose, you know, spin around, jump sideways. Whatever you think you've got to say to them. Not really, but you want to get them there. What is it? And so we asked. It was Brother Copeland, who used to pastor near here. He's with the Lord now. And we asked him to come over, and he just said, okay. And he spoke a word of faith to her. He said, do you believe that you're going to receive the Holy Ghost right now? She said, yes. Her faith is building. She said it out loud. She spoke it. Do you want the Holy Ghost? Do you really, really believe that you're going to receive the Holy Ghost right now? Oh, she's getting even more tongue-tied. I thought, oh, this guy's good, you know? It's not a trick. It's just faith building. Because the greater our faith, the more God must honor that. I don't care if you call it hype. I don't care what you want to call it. When we bring new people into this family, it's faith. And so he laid hands on her, and immediately she received the Holy Ghost. And I remember thinking, because I had recently felt a call into the ministry. I said, God, I don't know exactly what I'm going to be. Of course, when you're young, Pastor, you know how you have fantasies about preaching this way and that way. And all the things that you can do, all the things that the places that you can go in ministry. And of course, it doesn't always work out like that at the beginning. But It's all kind of there. And it was, of course, that way for me. But I remember thinking, God, I don't know exactly what you want me to do in the kingdom. I had done a little work with kids. I didn't really feel called to it that way at that time. But I said, God, I do know this. I want to do that. I want to do that. I want to be a part of bringing somebody into this world, into this kingdom. I want to be used like that. I asked Brother Copeland, what did you do? He said, I just built their faith. He said, yeah, you pray for anointing. God's going to give it. You ask for it. No secrets here. He said, you ask God for an anointing, he'll give it to you. And he said, you just build their faith. And every time I lay my hand on someone, I get the same joy. Why? Because our family just grew by one. The blood that was applied to me has just been applied to someone else. And now, of course, you know, I remember praying with Brother Dusty when he received the Holy Ghost. I remember standing right there where you are, sis. How you doing? That's right. Little sis right there. That's where he was. And it was easy. He was ready to go. It was almost just get out of his way. And I remember that. Not taking credit for it. I think we understand. There's no credit. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about just being a part of it. And now, the joy of watching him go to somebody, laying his hand on them and watching him experience that same joy. It's got to be a little bit like what a grandparent feels in the kingdom, so to speak. Of course, we know that that's not the only joy. Pastors who spend time. Evangelists, they do a little for a lot of people. And pastors do a lot for fewer people. And John said, I have no greater joy than to know my what? My children. My children. Yes, also brothers and sisters in Christ, but also my children, my family members are walking in truth. So I don't know everyone's background here today, but I can tell you this. We want you to be a part of the family. There's nothing cultish about it. I don't even like saying that word. You watch a few documentaries on cults. You know, we got nothing on them. We don't have a guru that we look to. We don't have all kinds of craziness like that. It's just a community. The church has been compared to a lot of things. The church building has been compared to a lot of things, a social lodge. And in some ways, that can be true, although that's not the main purpose. We call it a hospital. Also very true because we want sick people to come in and get better. We want to provide emergency services for people. But if I could choose one thing that, in my opinion, describes the house of God better than anything, I would call it a home. Because in Galatians, Paul said, bless those that are of the household of faith. So we want you to come home today.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.